I want you to think for just a minute about an invitation that changed your life. What's an invitation? Think back. What's an invitation that changed your life? Maybe it was a job. Maybe it was an invitation to coffee. Invitation to a meal. Invitation to an event where you met somebody that changed the trajectory of your life. Invitation to church. Invitation to therapy. What's an event, an invitation that changed your life? For me, it was a blind date 15 years ago. It was just going to be one date. I'm like, fine, I don't know this guy, but I've heard he's nice, you know. I'll go out with him. I'll give him a date. And now Matthew is sitting right here. He's my husband. We're going to celebrate 14 years, really, in like a month. Two kids and a lot of life in that time. Isn't it remarkable when you sit back and have some perspective and you start thinking about how one invitation or one yes changes the trajectory of your life? I mean, we could just sit here and all of us would have like profound stories that begin to come up. So this morning we're starting a new series called Invited, The Invitations of Jesus. And it's all about the invitations that Jesus gives us. And many of those are ones that change our lives. And there's one in particular that we begin with today, because Jesus invites us to so many things. He invites us to rest, to abide, to follow him, to love him, to serve, to forgive, to believe, all kinds of things he invites us to. But I think the first and foremost invitation, the one that changes everything, is this one today that we begin with. And this story is in Matthew 4, 18 through 22. This is as Jesus has kind of just begun ministry publicly. He has, previous to this, he was baptized in the Jordan River, sent into the wilderness, was tempted, resisted Satan for 40 days. Now he's come back out. He's just preached in Galilee. He's told people, repent and believe, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then this is his next move here in Matthew 4, verse 18. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee preparing their nets. And Jesus called them. And immediately they left the boat and their father, and they followed him. This is how Jesus begins his ministry on earth. He had all these little moments leading up to this. Now he is beginning his process to establish the kingdom of God as in heaven, on earth. And how does he begin? He begins with an invitation to relationship. Come, follow me. And I love that this first move of Jesus' ministry is an invitation to relationship, because it gives us an indication of what the kingdom of God that he's establishing values. It reminds us of what this is all about. And it's all about relationship. You know, if I was beginning launching a new product or a new ministry or a new thing, I would likely not start with inviting other people to join me. Well, I would maybe have a team, but if I was Jesus, I would have done a miracle. First thing, let me do a miracle. Let's gain some buzz, you know? I need some publicity. In today's world, I would find some influencer friends on social media and like do some kind of event with them, have a book, whatever. Jesus doesn't do any of that. Jesus' first move is relationship, because the kingdom of God is established not with a program or a platform or a slick strategy. It's established by relationship. And we see this in the first move that Jesus makes. Come, follow me. Come with me. Join me in this journey. So this morning I want to talk a few things. I want to talk about who does he invite. So we get this first invitation, come and follow me. Who gets the invite? Who's invited? Who's he inviting here? Well, here we see Simon, Peter, we see Andrew, James, and John, these four guys. And the common thing they have is they're all fishermen. These are the first ones that Jesus invites to follow him. They're fishermen, and they're just having a normal day at work. Matthew says that they're both working. Simon, Peter, and Andrew have just cast out a net. Jesus is walking along, and he says, hey, guys, come follow me. And they leave their nets, and they follow him. And then a little further, he sees James and John, and they're in the boat with their dad, and they're just preparing their nets to cast out for the day. It sounds like they're just beginning work for the day. They're in the family business with their dad, working, and Jesus says, follow me. And immediately they follow him. Jesus' first invitation is to join him, to follow him as he's establishing the kingdom of God on earth are two fishermen. These are ordinary guys. Other scriptures call them unschooled. They're just fishermen doing the family business, mundane life. I was trying to imagine, I'm like, oh, okay, sitting in your cubicle at Wells Fargo, and here comes Jesus. Hey, follow me. It makes more sense to my brain that it would go like this. It was finally time for Jesus to begin his public ministry, to begin to talk about the kingdom, to establish the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. And so he did this by going to the temples and the houses of worship and getting the priests and the religious leaders and all of these important people in the religious sphere to follow him and to make sure they know who he is. And then he goes to the public square and he finds the politicians and the wealthy and the influencers and he tells them his strategy and his story and he invites them to follow him, right? Does that make more sense? That's how we do things today. Who are the key people? Who are our influencers? You want to spread an idea? You want to change the world? You begin with people in power. If I was Jesus, I'd be looking for the movers and shakers in Galilee, and I'd be saying, I'm going to come to your house, and we're going to have dinner. I'm going to give you my plan, and we're going to talk about it. But that's not what Jesus does here. He's beginning to establish the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. And he begins with these fishermen who are just at work with their dad. And he says, come and follow me. Jesus chooses ordinary people in ordinary life circumstances. And then even more perplexing in this passage than who he chooses is how he chooses them. So many of you may already understand this culturally, but in Jesus' time, rabbis didn't choose their followers. Rabbis didn't choose those people who were going to be their disciples. Their disciples chose them. These young Jewish boys would grow up learning the Torah. For the ones that were most impressive, they would stay in school and they would continue to learn the scriptures. And then they would choose the rabbi that they wanted to follow. And they would really hope that maybe they'll let me follow them. And then if the rabbi talked to this potential disciple and they thought this disciple had some potential, had some promise, had some skills, they would say, okay, you can follow me. You can become my disciple. And then that disciple would move in with their rabbi. They would follow them around. They'd do what they do. They'd watch them. They'd learn from them. But do you see how different this is? A disciple chose their rabbi. Immediately, we find out that Jesus chooses not at all who anyone expects for him to choose. And the way he chooses them is he goes to them and he chooses them. He invites them to follow him, not the other way around. There's a reversal that happens immediately as Jesus begins ministry on earth. He reverses the process. It's not who you expect and it's not how you expect. Jesus seeks them. He chooses them. He invites them, this would have been scandalous to them. So backwards and confusing. And then what does Jesus invite them into? Verse 19, he says, come, follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people. I was convicted and struck this week, studying and soaking in this passage. His invitation is an invitation to action. Come and follow our verbs, action-oriented. Not come, believe these things. I just preached in Galilee. I want to make sure you believe what I'm saying. Now, let me explain something to you. Let me give you some important information. But come, follow me, move, leave something and walk and move. I mean, this would have literally required action from them. They dropped their nets, they left their dad, they walked away, and they begin to literally follow Jesus. He's not saying, come and study the scriptures with me. He says, come and follow me. Action, movement, words. And I was challenged this week because I do believe that in evangelical culture today, we've often reduced Christianity or becoming a follower of Jesus to believing a certain thing, to believing the right things. And yes, belief matters deeply. Belief is a huge, in fact, he says, repent and believe. Change your mind. Believe that the kingdom of God is at hand and I am the Messiah. So he's inviting them to belief later. And in crowds, he's inviting them to belief. But what he's also inviting us to is to follow him. And in the Gospels, believing and following would never have been separated, ever. In fact, these guys would have known. They just knew that if you had a rabbi who you were following, following them meant you're doing what they do. You're imitating them. You're going to the places they would go. You're believing the things they believe. You are a part of them. That's just what people would have expected. But in today's culture, belief and following are not always meshed together. Amen? And often when we invite people to follow Jesus in this culture, modern Western culture, often we think, and we will even invite, Lord have mercy, I've done it. Believe this truth. Pray this prayer. But Jesus says, follow me. Come, follow me. It's action oriented. We are such a culture of our mind. We love information. We love to know things. And when we know things, we feel powerful. The more you know, the more you have. And Jesus isn't saying, I want you to know more about me. Here's some information that's really important. He's saying, come, follow me. This is beyond mental assent. God designed our whole bodies, and he invites us to embody our faith. So we believe it, yes. We get information, we read the scriptures, we understand who Jesus is, and we even move with our bodies to follow Jesus. There is an invitation to mind, soul, spirit, body. Our whole being is invited in this invitation. Come and follow me. And it's interesting because even these disciples, their bodies actually believed before their minds did, right? Their bodies are following, and I'm sure they're thinking, wait, what am I doing? And it's so important for us to understand that following Jesus is not just this mental ascent that we make. Oh, I believe now. I have this idea now. Now I know what's true. Come and follow me. Know that we follow Jesus with our actions, with our bodies, with our movement. We go where Jesus would go. We do what Jesus would do. And we know him well enough to do that. Jesus is inviting these fishermen in this moment to something so much more than mental assent and even something richer than just agreeing with his teaching. He's inviting them to become his apprentices. You're my disciples. You're my apprentices. Apprentice is a more modern word for disciples. You're the people who I want to teach my trade to you. I want to teach my life and my skills. I want to give those to you. Come, follow me, and I'll give you those things. There was a book that I read a number of years ago that was so good. And if this strikes you at all this morning, stirs you, this would be a great book to read. But don't just read it, you know, don't just have the mental assent. But there's a book by John Mark Comer called Practicing the Way. And he's kind of pushing back on this idea that we just believe things. We just, the act of following Jesus is just a mental exercise. And he's saying, no, we follow Jesus. We actually learn who Jesus is. We learn who he is. We have relationship with him. And as we do things like Jesus would do them. And he puts it in really simple terms. He says, to be an apprentice of Jesus, a disciple of Jesus, an apprentice of Jesus is these three things simply. Be with Jesus, become like him, and do as he did. Be with Jesus, become like him, do as he did. An apprentice doesn't simply admire or study their teacher. An apprentice is close. The be with Jesus, often we just move right to the try to do as he did or become. First, you got to be with him. Come, follow me. Be with Jesus. An apprentice stays close to learn the ways of the one they're being apprenticed by. And Jesus' invitation here, be with Jesus, become like him, do as he did. When he says, come follow me, he's not inviting you to information. We have plenty of information. He's inviting them to transformation. And as we follow Jesus, we get more than information. We get transformation. It makes me think of like Tim. Tim didn't learn how to play the piano from reading books about the piano or studying the piano. Trust me, I grew up with him. He never saw him read a book about the piano or study it. In fact, he got in trouble for not doing those things. Tim learned how to play the piano by playing the piano all the time, watching other people who play the piano all the time, and then playing it again and again and again and again and again. My kids are in this stage right now where they want to learn to cook, which is both lovely and such a gift and also infuriating. Like, testing my patience, you know. Pearl's trying to learn how to cook an egg and flip it without breaking the yolk, okay? And I want to tell her, she loves information. Mom, just tell me. She says this all the time. Just tell me. Just tell me how to do it. And I'm running into, you know, we have this conflict, and it's because, you don't actually learn to cook by someone telling you how to cook. You don't learn to cook by reading a recipe. You don't learn to cook by just reading about cooking. You learn to cook by flipping an egg. You learn to cook by doing it, by practicing. And that's how we learn to follow Jesus, not by just reading about him, not by just learning information about Jesus and what he does, but by following him, by practicing, by being in relationship with him and doing what he does. And as we do that, we're transformed. That's how that happens. Jesus is inviting these guys to follow him. Follow him closely. Come, leave your nets. Leave your families, leave your nets. Come follow me, be my apprentices. And then in doing so, he's promising transformation. He's saying, I'll change your lives. I'm gonna make you fishers of men. I'll send you out to fish. Other translations say, I will make you fishers of men. And as I was reading that this week, I just loved Jesus all over again. I will make you fishers of men. Thank you, Jesus, that it's not on me. It's not my own skills. It's not my own faith. It's not my own faithfulness or my own expertise that makes me purposeful, that makes me transformed, that makes me get to participate in the kingdom of God. It's Jesus that does that work in me. I'll make you fishers of men. As you follow me closely, as you be with me, as you watch me, as you do what I do, as you become like me, you will be transformed. I will make you. I will make something in you that's beautiful, that's purposeful, that's meaningful beyond anything that you can make on your own. I'll change your lives. Just as you simply follow me, stay close to me. Jesus is the one that does the transforming work in us and in these fishermen. Our part is simply to follow, to stay close, to know Jesus. And he begins to change things in us, our loves, our character, our minds, gives us new purpose. It made me think of another favorite passage in the Gospels in John 15. That image of the vine and the branches. Jesus says, remain in me as I remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I'm the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. As we follow Jesus, as we remain in him, as we stay close to him, That's what apprenticeship is. I'm right there watching you. Think about apprenticeship and job. It's just like I'm constantly watching you and participating, and you know, they're letting you do things here and there. That's exactly what it is, as we follow Jesus. As we remain close, remain in the vine, then he produces fruit. He transforms our life. He does this work. And that's what he's promising to these men this day. These men know how to catch fish. They were probably really patient guys. I mean, you gotta be, I love to fish, but I'm not very good at it because it requires patience. You gotta be willing to sit and trust the process. Eventually a fish will come. You gotta be patient. You have to be attentive. You have to be able to watch the water and know the patterns of the water, right? There's skills that these guys have, and he's like, and now I'm gonna use these skills and I'm gonna transform you, and you're gonna catch humans. You're gonna gather people as we establish this kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. And I'll use you, I'll transform you, and you get to do that. So how do they respond? In verse 20, it says, at once they left their nets and followed him. Simon Peter and Andrew left their nets and followed him. And in verse 22, it says, immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. That's James and John. Immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. There's no hesitation in this story. And it blows my mind. Like, there's no delay. I consider myself an early adopter. Like, Brent, I think Brent mentioned it the other week. He comes to me with a plan. I don't put the brakes on any plans. I'm like, yeah, ooh, that sounds fun. Let's try that. Let's do that. I'm excited, you know. That's my personality. And even I kept putting myself in this story this week. Do you know that you can do that when you read the scripture? If you sit back and soak, imagine yourself in the scripture, and it is powerful. This has become one of my favorite ways to read scripture. Imagining myself in the scene. Who am I? Oh, I'm one of the disciples, okay. And what am I doing? And what's going on? And what does it feel like to be in this scenario? And as I imagined this scenario this week and myself in the scripture, I imagined me saying, ooh, I'm so honored. Can I think about it? I just need a minute. I need to go talk to Matthew. I need, you know, like, give me like 24 hours. Let me consider, you know, let me pray about it to you who's standing in front of me. Yeah. We often need more information, don't we? Like, we don't just take risks or make decisions like this. And so it is kind of shocking. If you've read the story many times, it's not shocking to you. And you know Jesus, so it's not shocking to you. But if you really put yourself in this position, it's pretty shocking that these guys left everything. They left their families. James and John left their dad in the boat, the family business, and walked away. And it felt so weighty to me at one point this week. I was thinking, wow, they left a lot. And they left with no delay, no request for more information, no hesitation. Why do you think that is? I think it's because they believe, they recognize that what Jesus is offering them is worth so much more than what they're leaving behind. Yes, they leave their nets. Yes, they leave their livelihood, their families. James and John leave the family boat, the family business, their father. There's a multi-generational business here, a livelihood, even an identity, but they understand that there is an opportunity, an invitation, a privilege to something so much more. That's the only thing that would make you not hesitate to leave your family business, everything you know that's comfortable. And I've often looked at this passage and heard this passage even preached as kind of counting the cost or the weight of following Jesus. I've heard this and I've even read it through my own lens as like, ooh, this feels like a story about like, there's some loss here. You're having to leave all these things, the family, and what does that look like? And that feels complicated. And how does the dad feel as he's sitting in the boat as they're walking away? And just the weight, the loss in this story. And as I imagined myself in this scripture this week, and as I sat with Matthew, my husband Matthew, not the writer, And we talked about it. Matthew said, oh, I just imagine actually the dad saying, yeah, go. I'd never thought of that before. And I imagine myself in this story. And even the dad's like, yeah, you better go. What an opportunity. This rabbi, this man, he wants you to become his follower. And he's going to transform your life, which is going to transform our lives. The fishing business doesn't matter. Go, go. And it was a whole new way of seeing this passage for me. This passage is not primarily about loss or what we leave. It's primarily about being drawn into the invitation to God's kingdom and his mission with him. Jesus' invitation isn't simply leave your nets. Often we stop there. It's leave your nets and come follow me, and I'll make you fish for people. I'll make you fishers of men. What an invitation. It's easy for us to see this as just a renunciation of my family, my job. God's going to ask me to give up all these things. I'm going to have to leave all these things behind. What are my nets? I don't know, but it's hard and it's costly. That's not what these guys seem to think. Without delay, yes, I want to follow you, Jesus. It isn't look what they gave up. It's look what or who they gained. I don't think that work and family suddenly became unimportant to these guys, but it became less important. The invitation to follow Jesus becomes the most important, compelling thing for them in this moment. And Jesus becomes the new center around which everything else revolves. Their whole lives become reoriented around Jesus in this moment. And I think that that's still the invitation to us today. Discipleship looks different. Our contexts are very different than fishing at the sea and leaving our families and our family business and following Jesus as he's literally walking on earth and you're getting to witness him do miracles and all these things. Our context is different, but the invitation is the same. Jesus says, come. Follow me, and I'll transform your life. I'll make you fishers of men. What was Jesus doing, and what is he doing today? He's continually saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heaven is for you, heaven on earth. He's healing people. He's feeding people. He's ministering to people. What the things that have been broken, he's making right. Is that work that you want to participate in? Yeah. I don't know about you. I'm enticed by a lot of things, but that's more enticing than anything. Thinking about being made whole and everyone else being made whole and things being made right and shalom, things being as they should be and justice being worked out and mercy being given and handed out and people having food that need food and people having physical healing and emotional healing and people's relationships working the way they should. All of those things are God's kingdom of heaven coming to earth. And that's the work that Jesus invites us to. Do you want to be a part of that? I do too. That makes me feel like James and John and Peter and Andrew. I'm like, yes, I'm in. I'll follow you. I want to do that more than anything else. I want that for me, and I want to see that in the people and the lives around me. So we don't leave our fishing boat, but we are invited to see Jesus at the center of our jobs, our schedules, our money, our relationships, our ambitions, our identity. Following Jesus involves leaving our nets. It involves surrender. It involves a reorientation, but the surrender is not meaningless. It's not loss. We surrender, we reorient to Jesus. We may even walk away from some things that are really good and important, but Jesus offers us something infinitely better. Come, follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. And there's two truths that I've been holding this week here. We often talk about two truths in our house. It originated from a Daniel Tiger song. You can have two feelings at the same time, and that's okay. Following Jesus costs something. Indeed, it does. But that has often been what we focus on. Following Jesus is worth more than what it costs, infinitely more. He offers life with him, life with purpose, a life of transformation, a life caught up in God's work of making all things new. And I want that. Even this week, I was telling Matthew, I'm like, okay, let's reorient our lives around Jesus again, because I keep screwing it up, you know? I keep letting all these other things get in the way. And I want to see Jesus just right in front of me saying, come, follow me. And so this morning even, I'm saying, oh yeah, I'm saying yes to Jesus again to reorient and turn 43. 43 years old, I'm reorienting my life around Jesus again. Saying, yeah, I want to be a part of the work that you're doing in the world, and I want you to do it in me. And I'm not looking at the cost. I'm looking at the person in front of me. Who is Jesus? God himself saying, I choose you. You didn't have to be good enough of a disciple to find a rabbi. You don't have to have that. I chose you. Ordinary Amy. Ordinary people. I choose you. I want you. And I will transform you. I'll make your life richer and fuller and more meaningful than you could ever do yourself. Will you follow me? And I say yes. So this morning, I want you to say yes with me again. Maybe you're in the room and you're like, oh, I've never even realized that Jesus chose me. Ordinary me, and that Jesus wants me to follow him. There's an invitation. I've never even realized there was an invitation from Jesus, from God himself, who chose me to follow me. And if you didn't realize that, it's really good news. And that is a yes invitation that will change the trajectory of your life. And so maybe even for the first time today, you're like, okay, I think I want to say yes. If that's true, please come talk to me. I want to pray for you. But most of us, I think, have probably said yes many times. Yes, Jesus, I'll follow you. But some of us have said yes to information, like I talked about at the beginning. I want more information. We've said yes to a lot of Bible studies. We've said yes to a lot of knowledge about Jesus. Yes to learning more about language and understanding context and all those things that are really fun and really good. And I love them too. But there's action, there's movement that Jesus is inviting us to. Come, follow me. I want to transform you. You're invited to more than knowledge, more than information, more than a mental ascent. And I encourage you today again, tell him yes again. I want to reorient my life around you again, Jesus. Let's pray.